Hey, Pardon My Take listeners. You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. On today's Pardon My Take, we have future Hall of Famer Julian Edelman. Maybe he's a Hall of Famer. I don't know. We'll talk to him. We have a great interview with Jules. He's doing our podcast and our podcast alone. No big deal. We're going to talk a little death of the Super League. There was a Lakers Twitter catfishing that was ridiculous. Hot seat, cool throne. Some great listener FAQs. A pack show for the people. And we're brought to you by our friends. Whether you're searching for a home to buy or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes so you can find the home that's just right for you. You can favorite homes, share listings with others, and even schedule tours with a local Redfin agent all in the app. When you're ready to buy, an experienced local Redfin agent can guide you through the whole process. So download the Redfin app today to get started. Hey!
It's Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.
Welcome to Pardon My Take, presented by Noom.com. Get healthier today with Noom.com/PMT. Noom.com/PMT. Today is Wednesday, April 21st, and the Super League is dead. We fucking killed that stupid son of a bitch.
Play the Coldplay song.
Okay, hold on.
Yeah, bring that up. R.I.P. to the Super League.
Oh, I thought we liked the Super League.
We hardly knew. We liked the name.
Yeah, we were.
And hopefully, I mean, if the Premier League is smart, they'll just rebrand as the English Super League, and then nobody can ever cuck them out of that again. But yeah, basically, what it all boiled down to was there was a group of very rich people, a bunch of billionaires, who didn't think they should pay for
American
their own fucking stadiums, and yeah. they tried to organize the mass exodus, and they were like, "Well, what's going to happen? There's going to be a bunch of poor people that are upset. What are they going to do? Not buy our shit anymore?" Turns out that over in Europe, yeah, poor people actually do that.
Mm-hmm.
They actually fight back. So it was 18 hours. Excuse me, 18.
18 hours.
18-hour league. And I just hope Texas A&M puts it up on the side of the stadium as their victory.
Yes. So, Hank, you say Americans that created the Super League. Let me ask you this brain buster real quick.
That's just the knowledge I learned from troops on Monday.
In order to kill something so evil as the Super League, you have to create it. So shouldn't Americans get credit for creating something that the world can get behind and kill?
Good point.
Like the nuclear bomb?
We did this. Mm-hmm. We created and killed it, so we deserve all the credit. Specifically this show and generally America, I would say.
It was a great test. All along, it was a test. It was an experiment, and guess what? There are 12 teams that failed.
Mm-hmm.
We put together this idea of a giant league that would suck the soul out of sports.
No, we didn't. Marshall Henderson did.
Marshall Henderson put it together. Mm-hmm. And then we saw, surely Manchester United and Juventus and Leeds won't join this.
Mm-hmm.
Leeds actually did. They passed the test by not joining.
Yeah.
But then all these big teams were like, yeah, we're greedy. We're money hungry. Guess what?
Gobble, gobble,
you guys
gobble.
Really showed your ass because you're the bad guys.
You rich motherfuckers. We beat your ass.
Isn't this bad for our World Cup chances?
No, it's great for World Cup chances because Pusilic and Dest and all the other great players that we have right now, they all just happened to be on teams that would have been in the Super League and not been allowed to play. So now guess what? USA World Cup 2022.
Qatar.
2022.
Another great idea.
That's
well, to have a World Cup in the middle of the desert.
That's what's so funny because we were trying to figure out with troops why FIFA was coming down on the side of the fans. And we figured it out afterwards. It's because FIFA controls UEFA, the Champions League, and the Super League would have sucked all the money out of UEFA. So that's why FIFA was doing this, not because they're like some big...
No.
FIFA's like, listen, we're okay with letting North Korea into our tournaments, but a European player that doesn't compete in the Champions League, see ya.
Yeah.
Now, excuse me, we have a bunch of slaves to go bury in Qatar.
Yes. Whoa. Damn, drop the hammer on them.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, FIFA isn't a good actor in any of this. But... we did kill it. It's over. Thank God it's over. The fans, mostly from us and leading the charge, I would say. I mean, that that clip from Troops on the show on Sunday had a lot of people interacting with it, had a lot of people watching it. So we got the message out there. I saw James Corden just basically watched it and then did his own, like, Troops. He just basically did a cover band of Troops.
Didn't,
no big deal.
Didn't drop the N-bomb like Troops did, though.
No, he did not. No, he did not.
Do you guys see the World Cups during football season?
Yeah, no, because they did it doing it in a fucking desert.
That's crazy.
They had to create these huge stadiums with air conditioning. It's one of the dumbest things ever.
You know what? I bet you that there's going to be 24 hours of football that take place then.
Yes.
Soccer and football.
3 a.m.
football. Football and football time.
Yeah.
That, we'll have to do a marathon for that. This is me just writing checks I don't want to cash later.
I did learn that there are more players on the U.S. men's team than just Pulisic. So that was a win for soccer awareness in America. So credit to the Super League for doing that. I think it was all good. All good came from this. We all got together. There's nothing like a common enemy that everyone can just get pissed off at. So, yeah, job well done. Again, mostly by us, but job well done.
I'll take credit for it. I'd say that, like, the two biggest successes of this podcast have been, one, bullying Nyquist the horse off Twitter, and then, two, ending the European Super League.
Yes, there it is. One and two. So that one, just, like, easy as could be, moving on.
Now, but there is something that popped up in the back of my head. When this was all put to bed, like, so quickly, they're going to try this again in, like, 2 years.
Yeah, but they'll beat the fuck out of it again.
They're going to learn from what happened this time, and they're going to do it, like, in the dead of night.
Yeah, but we found
They'll probably do it during the Olympics, like when Putin invaded the Crimea.
But we found out they're bitches.
They are bitches.
So we'll just fuck them up again.
They are bitches.
We will fuck them up again. When they come at us, we will fuck them up again. All right, so the other news we had was Lakers Twitter had a catfish problem, which is I think we were long overdue for a good catfishing. And it was to catch you up, which is really, it's inconsequential, but it's also very funny. Basically, there was a female, or we don't know the real identity of the person.
There was
someone who was pretending to be a attractive woman who was very much into the Lakers, did podcast appearances, possibly faked cancer, then possibly faked her own abduction, which is the no-no. You can do one or the other. You can't do both. And was exposed. And again, I just love any catfishing story online because it's actually incredible that it doesn't happen more often when you think about, like, where can you find horny dudes that if you just talk a little bit of sports, they will simp for you forever. Oh, yeah, the internet.
I think it probably does happen a lot. We just find out about it when it gets caught. People are just really good at pretending to be women online, I think.
My idea was...
Laker Daniela is what
Laker Daniela should be out there.
Yeah.
My idea was, why isn't anyone... So, like, all these stories are pretty much the same arc where it's like... Someone creates an account, puts an avatar up there that's not them, gets in a community, and then gets like one or two close friends, gets exposed, deletes their account. I don't know why. Why aren't people buying penny stocks of this account right now? Because what if, like, there's got to be a one in a million shot that the catfisher actually is the chick. And if you start white knighting now when everyone's going at her.
Okay.
You're truly the, like, yo, are these guys bothering you online guy?
Yeah. No.
And what's the worst thing that happens?
Nothing.
You end up with a fucking dude who loves the Lakers. Yeah,
a buddy to watch the games with. Yeah.
Who you could sext with and jerk off to.
And very worst case scenario, you look like a good guy for being like, I'm the last person that will defend the honor of this probably dude. You know what? Dudes need white knighting too.
Yeah.
I don't know why that gets reserved exclusively for females. Like, every now and again, it would be nice if somebody white knighted for us.
Dudes supporting dudes. I texted Titus, our good friend Mark Titus, because he had a nice tan. I was like, dude, you got a sick tan. Like, we should do that more often to each other.
Dudes rock.
Yeah.
Go tanning?
No, just be like, hey, you look good. Yeah. Like, hey, you look good, bro. Hey. Why don't I just say it? I'm looking at you right now. I can't say it, but if you were looking good, I would tell you you look good.
Watch this. Jake looks nice today. You can't look at him while you say it.
Jake? He's wearing glasses.
Jake looks nice today.
Ew.
Yeah.
Ew.
Hot.
Mean.
I'd like to.
Not as much gel today.
Oh.
It's au natural.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. I like it natural. I like my...
I got a button down for
more
tonight.
More fuss for the love, yeah.
I like my PMT sports biz guys with less makeup on.
What is tonight?
Lugers.
for Stool Benchmark.
Ah. They've the cat's
ended,
coming.
They're done. They ended the podcast, so they're doing a big farewell.
Season one.
Rip.
Well, it's, we're still doing once a week. Thursday releases.
You know what we should do? Sorry. We should hire Vivian.
Yeah.
In the chance that she's real.
Yes, that's
and
what
she's
I'm saying.
Like, she got abducted.
She's got cancer.
She might, hopefully she survives this ordeal. In the chance that she's real, we should hire her to be on the show, to be our Lakers stats girl. If it turns out that Vivian is actually really Vivian, she is our official Lakers correspondent.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Okay,
like it's in the finance world, it's a distressed asset. We're buying distressed assets in the hope that we can turn them around.
Undervalued.
So we buy the distressed asset. It's one in a million shot that she's actually who she says she is. But if she is, she'll remember that we were the ones who had her back.
She's a Kevin Youkilis. She's like, if we're doing Moneyball,
right.
She gets on base.
Right.
Doesn't matter how she gets there.
So the other part of the story, there was a couple other funny elements. Kevin Durant is now the king of Twitter. So he was on Twitter Spaces, like getting the breakdown. Kevin Durant, we have given him a lot of shit. We've called him the Triple B many times. And I just think that he has persisted so much on online as being just an online dude that he's won everyone over. Who's like, oh, you're so lame for being online all the time. And he just stayed online. And now it's like, no, he's cool because he's like us.
I'm removing the mayor of Twitter handle title from Chrissy Teigen, giving it to Kevin Durant. Because Chrissy shows up and she just like tweets and then hopes that she gets all her friends to retweet her and tell her how great and funny she is.
Yes.
Kevin Durant actually engages with everybody online. And he engages with like every single Twitter development. Like the people, you know how sometimes you get a notification on Twitter. It's like, "Hey, we're rolling out this new feature. Give it a shot." All those go to Kevin Durant, and he tries them out immediately.
Right,
fills out the forms, sends them back. He's on Spaces.
Yeah,
he's running. He's probably the biggest power user of Twitter Spaces. He is the official mayor of Twitter. As far as I'm concerned,
he is. And then
was he catfished by it?
No, he jumped into a Twitter Spaces and just asked for like a rundown by a guy who there was a guy unfortunately who did like kind of fall in love with this chick who's not a chick. And then also Taylor Rooks jumped in, and everyone, like, what they've made Vivian out to be is what Taylor Rooks is in real life, and they all, like, she was trending just because she went into a Twitter space, which was hilarious. Ice Cube's son, O'Shea Jackson Jr., he retweeted being like, find Vivian.
Uh-huh.
Markieff Morris did that. The whole internet was like, whole Lakers internet, and it was just a very, again, catfishing stories. I feel like we haven't had a good one in a while. So, and then she deleted her account, never to be seen
again. So, the person in the pictures of Vivian, I know that a few of them were Photoshopped, kind of like the college admissions thing. She was, like, playing water polo at some point. But the background's always changed for her. But it is a real person, right? The individual exists.
Yes.
Whoever that person is should take on Vivian's personality right now. It should be like Doug's.
Right.
It should be like Doug's. Vivian should see that there's a brand built around her already. She should just learn everything she can about the Lakers right now. Hop online and boom, she's immediately accepted as
an expert. She's there. She's ready to roll. I like that. So she's kind of made like a she's almost what is it? What do you call it, Billy? What do you call it? Like butterfly and the moth and the larva? What is it called?
Metamorphosis?
Yeah, there it is. She's someone can hop into the larva sac and come out a beautiful butterfly, which is not a pun because her name is Butterfly, her Twitter handle. I didn't do that on purpose.
Okay.
But it is. I just realized that.
But what is it, Butterfly?
It's Butterfly 424 or something.
Okay.
So
it's actually remarkable that you're able to build such a strong brand with such a lame handle.
Yeah. Well, she did gain 16,000 followers solely off of the fact that she got fake abducted and had fake cancer.
That's true. So, I mean, she also was attractive, which helps.
Yes. Yes.
You know what? All right, here's how I feel about the whole catfishing thing, because everybody online, to a certain extent, pretends to be somebody that they're not. Right?
Well, we're all losers.
Is that too deep for 420?
Yes, we're all losers.
It's the fact, like, everyone puts forth what they want to put forth online. And so we're all just catfishing.
This is why celebrity, worship is so stupid. It's the old, like, I can't believe this celebrity couple got divorced. Like, oh, well, I can because they had a marriage.
Like, me, Big Cat, and Hank, we don't actually write any of the show. We're just the beautiful faces just to suck you guys in.
Jake writes everything.
Jake writes
Bubba.
When Jake's wearing his glasses, he writes everything.
Yeah, he's our head writer.
I know what we can do with these guys.
Oh, Jake, I remember what I was going to ask you. Chet Holmgren.
Yeah.
Gonzaga got another lanky white guy. Surely this will take him over the top.
We'll see.
That's all I wanted to say.
I thought Jake broke that news yesterday because he tweeted out Chet Holmgren to Gonzaga. And I was like, Jake, are you breaking news? He's like, no, I'm just watching his live stream and reporting.
Also, Chet Holmgren is not, like, if we're just going name alone,
no,
that's a fucking country music, like a failed country music act in Nashville.
Yeah.
That's not a number one pick, number one recruit to Gonzaga.
I would say, like B-list country musician / probably the best used car salesman in Columbus.
Yeah.
From Minnesota.
Come on down and see Chet.
What are they doing? What's Mark Few doing in Minnesota?
Jalen Suggs.
He's just stealing the whole state.
Yeah.
Damn.
So, should be interesting.
It did bother me a little. I say that jokingly about Chet Holmgren simply because I saw it. And, like, if Wisconsin was at his peak as a program, we should get a guy like that, a fucking tall, lanky
like
dude,
kind of guy
from Minnesota,
especially with reciprocity.
Yeah, right, exactly. It should be us. So what else we have? The I saw a crazy stat I wanted to throw out there because we respect credit to us, by the way, for getting ahead of the respecting Steph more the night before he went for 49. That felt good, but he is insane. He's off the charts.
So it's kind of progressed over the course of the last week. It's been like Steph is unreal. That's what it started with. Then it's Steph is insane. Mm-hmm. Now Steph is unconscious
and maybe MVP, but not.
I'm going to start the train on that.
Do it.
Steph for MVP.
Do it. Windhorse would get, let's see how many games he played.
I think Steph Curry depends should be the most valuable player of the league.
If he didn't play enough games, Windhorse would get really mad at you. Okay, let's do it.
No one's ever done what Steph's done.
No one has ever done what Steph's done. It's true. What is it, 73s in the last 10 games?
You cannot tell the story of the NBA in the year 2021 without mentioning Steph Curry.
That's a fact. It also just shows how stupid we are as sports fans and how, like, in the moment. Because I did, of course, it's just one person on Twitter, but I do think there's a sect of people who are like, Steph can't do it alone. And you're like, dude, in 2015, he was the best player on a championship team that won 67 games. And the next year, he was the best player on a team that won 73 games.
Right. They're just saying, like
I think he can do, he obviously has help, but he can be the best player on a great team.
Right. They're saying also, like, if you took away all of Steph's good players, then his team wouldn't be as good.
Yeah, right.
That's probably just a fact.
One of the best. One of the best arguments out there. Maybe we don't respect Clay enough.
Maybe we don't respect Joel Embiid enough either.
Dude, Joel Embiid's insane. The one thing about Joel Embiid, though, he's so good, and he makes the ball look so small in his hands.
Uh-huh.
And it looks like he's playing on, like, a mini hoop because he's so large and so, like, incredibly skilled. The one thing with Joel Embiid, though, is every time he hits the ground, I'm like, that's it.
Yeah.
It's over.
Which is, actually, I think that's contributing to the Joel Embiid for MVP conversation, the fact that he hasn't gotten severely injured this year.
Yeah.
He's figured it out.
He is at a level, though, where he just dominates. Like, when he has the ball, it's just, okay, he's either going to score or he's going to make something happen every single time. And he does. He is just an enormous, enormous human being.
When he caught that home run, and then he took a picture of his hand holding it, and it looked like one of those Cadbury cream eggs.
Yeah, Andre the Giant.
Yes.
Andre the Giant holding his Cadbury cream eggs just right in your hand.
Yep.
The perfect spot in the palm of your hand.
Perfect analogy, cousin. By the way, hand up.
Yeah.
I fucked up with cousin.
Why?
Because I should have said nephew. Snoop always says nephew, not cousin. Yes.
And cuz instead of, like...
No, cuz still doesn't sound great. But
cuz sounds better than cousin.
He also says cuz.
Cuz, yeah.
He doesn't
and
say
he has
cousin.
Said cousin, but it was also the delivery. I just don't know if anyone can deliver Snoop Dogg except Snoop Dogg.
No cap.
Right.
He throws around unk, too.
Yeah, unk. He actually says
much
every relative...
any other family member. Yeah.
Steph, yeah.
Here you go, cousin.
Yeah, damn it.
What, my brethren?
Listen, there are some shots that you wish you could take back in life, but you know what? Shoot or shoot.
Yes.
Steph Curry.
You got to keep going.
Sometimes I have weeks where I'm off. Sometimes I'm unconscious.
Yes. All right, so the other thing. The stat I wanted to say that I wanted to throw out there because it fucking blew my mind. Ben Fox tweeted this. F-A-W-K-E-S. I said that like Fox, the network.
Like the guy that overthrew Parliament?
Guy Fox, yeah. Guy Fox. Dodgers have been favored in 96 straight games dating back to 2019 season finale versus the Nationals. They've been favored in 134 of the last 136 games. That's stupid.
It is stupid.
That actually is not respect the Dodgers. It means that people respect the Dodgers too much.
Way too much. That tells me that they're overvalued.
That's insane. 134 out of the last 136 games.
Is it profitable, do you know?
I don't know.
That's crazy.
Isn't that insane?
They still haven't won a real ring, though.
That's true. They are really, really good. And it's not whatever. It's, you know what? I feel like whenever a team's really, really good out west, you can just be like, we'll deal with that later.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right.
Like, who cares?
Because for whatever reason, you always think we won't have to face them until, like, at least the second leg of the playoffs.
Well, and it's just like, you know, like, the games are on at late at night. I don't really see them dominating. Like, who cares? We'll figure it out later.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Anything else before we get to Hot Seat Cool Throne? Anything?
My fantasy team lost.
Fuck, I'm sorry.
1-1 Seam Head Express.
What happened this week?
Just, you know.
It's only one game a week?
Had some COVID issues this week.
Actually, I take that question back.
Strike that from the record.
Don't. You just gotta like, ask a...
I shouldn't have said that.
I mean, I'm waiting for Mondesi to get off the IL.
Look what you did, eh?
I know.
It's just unreal. Like, this guy, he hasn't even swung a bat yet.
Where'd you pick him?
I think I took him like fifth round.
Sixth round.
That's good value.
It was great value, actually. Yeah, but you need that to come through.
I needed to come through, but it's a long season.
A best abilities availability.
That's absolutely
and
right.
He's not stone out hands. There for you.
Gotta keep the stone
yeah,
hands.
Yeah, I'm not papering out on this. I'm not man ewing.
So wait, what happened this week?
So I actually got really, really badly beat. I think I lost like 1-8-1.
But it still counts as only one loss.
Yeah, it counts as one loss.
So who cares?
We're 1-1 of the season. We're keeping, you know, just keeping things level for right now. We're lurking. Yeah.
Who cares?
I always say, if you're you know, five games back at the All-Star break, you can make a run.
Yeah, absolutely. There it is. All right, let's get to Hot Seat Cool Throne. It's brought to you by our friends at...
With golf season in full swing, Chevy wants to help you make the most of every drive, and the all-electric Blazer EV's bold design and dynamic performance make it the perfect electric vehicle to get you to the course in style and comfort. Chevrolet, together let's drive.
Hey, Hank, Hot Seat Cool Throne.
You want me to go?
Yeah, do it.
Okay. I feel like the expression nature is healing may be overused sometimes, yep. But mm-hmm. last night I thought it was extremely appropriate. Foul ball guy is my hot seat. Crowds, fans are back in baseball. Nature is healing. There was a home run hit, and I think it was the Phillies game, and foul ball guy went sprinting. Like, it landed in the seats. Foul ball guy, you just see him come in the frame, absolutely hauling ass, and as he gets to the ball, he fell. And then the clip that I saw, it fell before you even saw if he got the ball. Like, it seemed like he was, like, he fell, and then he was reaching, and the clip ended. But hot seat foul ball guy, he's clearly not, you know, he's been off for a year. He's not in form. He's slipping. He's falling. I don't even know if he got the ball.
No, the hustle's still there.
Yeah, the hustle's there, but he's rusty.
Yeah,
he's not, like, mid-season prime foul ball guy. First of all, prime time foul ball guy is catching that ball.
Let me stop you right there.
He doesn't need to run for it.
Let me stop you right there. What? Was it a foul ball he was going for?
No, but he's
that's home run ball guy. That's home run ball guy.
He doesn't catch foul balls.
His name is foul ball guy.
No, he catfished you into thinking he was a foul ball guy.
Yeah, he's a home run ball guy.
Yeah.
And he texted me this morning. He said, "Yo, I need to redeem myself after last night's debacle in Philly.
He knows
you see my spectacular fail? Let's hit up a game. Yankees, Phillies, we'll do it for YouTube and get hundreds of thousands of views. Hope you're doing well."
Sounds lucrative.
There's one person here that should go to a game with him.
Frank the Tank.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, yeah. I mean, do you think you could get him in position?
Yes.
Imagine?
Yeah.
Imagine.
Frank would maybe turn around all his luck.
It would have to be like, in the Sandlot where Benny the Jet put the guy in the outfield uh-huh. and was like, "Stand here, I'm going to hit it into your glove." He could do that during batting practice.
Yes,
he could put Frank in a position to make a catch.
And then and maybe even bring the like alternate jerseys, flip Frank out in and out of jerseys to get the players throwing him balls. I just love foul ball guy. Like, I just hope that some, like, in 20 years I'm turning on a game and he's just flailing around in the outfield just grabbing balls. Like, it's great. It's perfect.
It was so nice to see you. Just see him hauling fucking ass.
Right. Him and Marlins, man. Back to back.
I love seeing the hustle out of him. Because you can control your effort, you can control your preparation. He did both. It's just a matter of getting the reps back before he starts catching those home runs again. I'm sure about that.
I think about that episode probably more than any other episode we've ever done.
I mean,
just
it's
because Marlins man called me and was like threatening to sue me. This is before we were friends. This was our first interaction with him. And I think the reaction, people were like, "Fuck Marlins man," after that episode. And he called me the next day like threatening all this legal act. It was one of the wildest.
We should have him back
of
on.
Of all the people we've had on, it was one of the wildest like post interviews of all time.
Yeah.
But yeah, foul ball guy got to get back on his game. My cool throne, we mentioned it earlier, but guy's named Chet. White boy summer, and then the number one recruit going to Gonzaga. And guys, Dave. Dave has a new season of videos coming out.
Dave has a new season of videos coming out. Federal crime.
Yes, yes. That is a federal crime.
No, June. Season 2.
Oh, Lil Dicky show.
Yes.
That's also federal crime.
Bonk. That's a show I've been meaning to get around to watching because everybody that I know watches the show and absolutely loves it.
It's really, really good.
I'm going to watch Dave. That's my resolution.
There you go.
By the time I speak to you on next Wednesday's show, within the next week, I will have started Dave.
Wow. That's
powerful.
You know what? I'm going to say it.
Are you going to do it?
You're a hero.
It's freaky.
You sure you're going to sign yourself up?
I'm big into setting goals.
Because I heard the fine language there. You didn't say you were going to finish it. You said you were going to start it.
No, it's important to set goals. Big Cat, there's an art to this. Here's two things you have
to do. That's a hero's move.
One, set goals. Boom, check that off. Checked off one goal already.
Mm-hmm.
Two, set attainable goals.
Yes.
Three, start watching a show on Netflix within a week.
Yeah.
I'm going to be able to fulfill on two out of those three already and three out of three by next week.
I was going to say I would join you, but I don't think I don't want to fail.
You can do it.
I don't want to fail. I already set my goal last week or yesterday of saying I'm going to do a respect list once a week, but maybe monthly, but also probably yearly.
But cool. But you didn't say when you were going to do it.
Right.
You're going to start doing it, so it could start at any point.
And it could be... Yeah, it could be yearly.
You know what the best goal is of all time? If you just don't have any...
When you're down 2-0?
Objectives.
In hockey?
No, in soccer. It's the most dangerous.
Got it. Yeah.
If you say, I'm going to start drinking more water.
Yeah.
And then if you just have like a glass of water, boom.
Done.
Checkmate.
Other cool throw, and Jake just showed me that his phone wallpaper is a picture of him and Marlins fan. I mean, him and foul ball guy.
It is not my wallpaper. I have a picture with him.
Let me see.
You pull it back up.
You like went and found him?
No, I saw him on the subway.
And you were like, hey,
I thought his videos were cool.
That's cooler than
was this pre you Barstool?
Stadium.
Yes,
that's perfect. God damn it, I love you, Jake. That's so perfect.
Yeah,
you're like, dude. I watch
your
videos.
Yeah, I watch the videos. Like, I like them.
I like the tips that you had on getting the foul balls.
Well, not the tips, just like the behind the scenes stuff.
Right, but there were a lot of tips in it.
Yeah, there are a lot
when
of tips.
When he does the when he drops his glove that's like attached
with
to
the string and he pulls it up and then he puts a water bottle in between the glove so it like traps it something
that's
like
nice.
That. Yeah.
Really no nice. One in the world, this is the thing, like I used to be like, oh, foul ball guy, he's annoying, he's, you know, elbowing people, and then I realized something, you respect greatness, he's number one on the respect list, you will never see a foul ball guy again like foul ball guy.
No.
Ever.
Do you think, he'll probably have a kid just to get more foul balls.
Yeah.
Just to bring to the games and teach his son or daughter how to get more foul, which one do you think
I
he
should
wants
loan
more?
Him my kid.
A son or a daughter to just as a prop to collect more balls.
Mm.
I feel like a daughter wearing like a full kit.
Yeah. Maybe a seeing eye dog.
A puppy. Foul ball puppy.
Yeah. Compassionate, like whatever they call
it. He'll probably get into that.
Yeah.
Is that it, Hank?
Good job, Hank.
Hold on. Great job.
Thanks.
My hot seat is golf and the way that people are paid out for winning golf tournaments.
Uh-oh.
Because there's a – I'm probably going to absolutely butcher the explanation of this, but there's a bonus structure that's going to reward the biggest stars in golf that it doesn't matter how you finish in the tournament for that weekend. It matters how much fan engagement and sponsor engagement you drive. So it's basically
great for Max.
It's great. Yeah. It's the Max Homa rule.
Wait, so we can make them money?
We can make them money
by
driving
us back?
And they could potentially pay us back.
Whoa.
So that's my cool throne was going to be us because we can play both sides of this coin very easily.
Whoa.
So they're saying in the explanation it said it's going to be given to players that drive engagement like Tiger Woods. So Tiger's probably going to be collecting checks even if he's not playing. And then they said,
I mean, there's a lot of engagement a month ago.
Yes, tons of it. Yeah. His driving ability was just, it made Bryson DeChambeau look awful. And then Ricky Fowler, he's on the list too. They're really disrespecting Max by not mentioning it.
So we need to get, this sounds like a scheme that will probably get us in trouble, but will be lucrative for a short period of time.
I don't think you can get in trouble for defrauding the PGA Tour.
I'm going to agree.
I think that public sentiment would
be on
our
side.
The way
you said it, I'm going to totally agree. The way you put that,
I mean, the entire
is correct.
The entire sport is based on the honor system,
right?
So if we just sign a card at the end of every show, or like underneath, if we put a picture up on our Twitter accounts saying like we certify that we are not gaming the system, they have to trust us unless there's video evidence.
And I think we've actually had this conversation with our lawyer, Mr. Portnoy, that's another guy we got to get on again because it's been a while, but. Is it a scheme or a fraud if you just admit it out loud? Because we're telling everyone what we're going to do.
Yeah, we've asked him that question.
I think he said, as a lawyer, no. I think he said, go ahead.
Yeah, he's like, go ahead, but I want nothing to do with it.
Right, which means really go ahead and slide in, you know, pass us some money in the back.
We are absolutely going to do everything that we can to get Max Homa this extra money. Because Brooks will do it on his own.
Yes.
I'm sure. Max might need some help from us.
Yes.
Wait, we're going to be nicer to Max.
Yeah. Max, I think Max likes where he's at. He likes the little fucking ball busting, you know?
You remember, like, this was probably 10, 15 years ago when they talked about doing the original Super League, which was the Tiger Tour?
Mm-hmm.
They were saying Tiger could just break away from the PGA Tour.
Right.
Host his own tournaments. This is kind of like that, but for John Daly.
Yeah.
Like, John Daly could show up and collect all this money every single week.
I think he still, doesn't he still have an exemption at, like, wherever he won the, didn't he win a U.S. Open? No. He won maybe. Did he win?
Yeah,
US
he won
Open?
A U.S. Open. Right?
I think it was Britain, Scotland.
He's got, he has some exemption PGA? Somewhere. I want to say that he.
I think it was the British Open.
Kiradech, a Finbarm rat. He'll also be another
Happy
one.
Barn rat. That's the guy you guys want on the show. He's the one who. Yeah,
he's going to be making a lot of money off the if like each vape. You know how they have
it's
like
Britain or Scotland.
We wish that they would show how much each putt's worth at the end of a tournament. Every time, what's his name again, Jake?
I think it's pronounced Afi Barnrat.
Nah,
1995
you know.
Open Championship at St. Andrews.
Okay. Afi Barnrat. Every time he blows a sick cloud, they should show us how much money in like PGA Tour buzz cash or whatever they're going to call it he's
yes,
making.
Yes, yes.
Two majors.
What was the other one?
91 PGA Championship at Crooked Stick and 95 Open Championship at St. Andrews. That's what I was thinking of.
So maybe he, he gets a, I don't know how the exemptions work. I kind of like that idea that like Freddie Couples is going to be playing the Masters forever. All right, my hot seat is my favorite kids show, Bluey, which I have talked about a couple times before. If you're not watching it, if you have kids and you're not watching it, well, you're stupid. But you actually might be on – you might be good because there was an article that kids cartoon Bluey criticized for not having disabled, queer, poor, gender diverse, or dogs of color, prompting important debate.
Aren't they blue healers?
Yeah. It's dogs. It's a show about cartoon dogs.
Are the dogs –
it's a show about cartoon dogs.
Okay. And they don't have any dogs of color?
It's a show about cartoon dogs.
Okay. No poor dogs?
It's a show about cartoon dogs. It's crazy.
Can dogs be rich?
There
was that one Chinese lady that left all of her money to her dog.
I just love that idea that it's like, well, I wasn't represented in Bluey.
Uh-huh.
So well, none of us were because we're not dogs.
It's a show about dogs.
Cartoon fake dogs. It's eight minutes an episode.
This is actually probably the world's richest dog right here, the Doge.
Yeah, Dogecoin.
Although,
Doge Day.
I was sold a bill of goods about Doge Day today.
What?
Everybody was just saying Doge is going to go to the moon today. I packed my bags. So
I could
ready.
Never see that happening. Damn. Fuck. And then my cool throne is the Bengals jerseys because they didn't really change them.
Yeah.
That was the lamest, like, hey, look at this. Like, what? I can't
look at
really?
Joe Burrow's fucking scars is really the takeaway.
Did
from,
you see that quote, though, he had? Holy shit, I got to find it. It was awesome. This is a, oh, damn, that is a huge scar. Whoa. It's the anti-Trevor Lawrence quote.
Mm-hmm.
Not to bash Trevor Lawrence, who we're rooting for, but he said, if I died without scars, that just means I did nothing worth fighting for.
I think that was in Braveheart, too.
Pretty fucking cool. Battle scars. Damn, that's fucking insane. That thing, you got to get a tattoo on that.
Yeah, the jerseys, like on the socks, they should have a tiger stripe where his scar is.
Yeah.
Add an extra stripe to it.
Yeah, but the jerseys were not different.
They weren't really. I actually think that since it's well known that the Bengals ownership is the thriftiest, shall we say.
Yeah.
They're the most careful with their money
mm-hmm.
of any of the major franchises, and they probably just took the old uniforms and had somebody remove some of the stitching.
Yep.
And they're like, look, it's a minimalist. We deconstructed the old jerseys to give it a cleaner feel.
The only thing that I got out of this, the Bengals jerseys, is I think the NFL in the next 2 years, I'm going to call my shot, is going to change the one shell only rule. So that there can be multiple different helmets all year long, and it's going to be sick. That will be a big time, like, fans win with all the cool helmets.
I agree.
Because, like, the Bengals all whites, like, those need white helmets.
Yes.
They have to have
It'd be amazing. Wait, Billy, what kind of tiger is that?
Bengal.
What?
What?
The white tiger?
They're white Bengal tigers.
Yeah. White, really?
Albino.
I don't think they're. Tigers. There might not be able to.
There
have
should be more
white
tigers
Siberian
of color.
Tigers.
I think in the NFL.
That's true. If you're a tiger and you watch, Edo is probably watching it and being like, "What the fuck?"
Yeah.
I might be crazy, but I think it's the NFLPA that doesn't want the multiple helmets for breaking in new helmets.
Either way, I'm just calling my shot.
They'll probably figure out a way. Yeah. I think that if it was going to make enough money for the NFL, Roger Goodell could have figured out a way to spin zone the whole the like it's not padding. As safe.
There'd
thing.
Be That's so many
really,
cool ways.
Never really
cool
stopped
helmets.
Them in the past. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Billy, your hot seat, cool throne.
My hot seat is Joey Bosa for being extremely horny on TikTok.
Ooh.
He was seen using a massager on himself on TikTok and with a TikTok model, Jenna Berman.
I think it's his girlfriend.
Yeah.
What do you mean a massager?
He was literally just like using one of those
magic wands.
The Theraguns?
Yeah.
Oh, on his, so what's so horny about that?
He was using it on... It was just a really awkward video.
Billy, can you describe his girlfriend for us?
Was it hot? Were you turned on?
No, it was describe just Joey Bosa. Looks like a very respectful person.
Yeah?
Yes.
Okay.
What
cool throne.
I don't understand why this is a hot seat for Joey Bosa.
Me neither.
Because he was being a weirdo and using the massager on himself.
Okay, so you'd rather him be like a certain quarterback and go out there and pay somebody else to do it?
No. Anyway,
I'm all in favor of robots taking masseuses jobs if you're an NFL player.
It was a funny video. Look it up. My cool throne.
Look it up.
Is cool records getting broken. The underwater bench press record was broken.
Okay.
It's basically this Russian dude just took a bench press, put it underwater, and repped it out 77 times, beating the previous record of 62 times.
How much weight?
Only 110 pounds.
Wait,
but does that weigh more underwater?
Yeah, no, less. Weightless. So I'm like, that's more of just a holding your breath thing.
Right, like a Navy SEAL.
So I'm kind of, you know, in the back of my head, I'm like, I could do that. I could break that record.
In worst case scenario, you drown.
Exactly.
Fill up the studio with water and test it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think we could probably find you some sort of a tank to practice weightlifting.
That would be sick.
That break the record? Yes. I'm going to find more of these dumb records.
And let's break them.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Summer plans.
Okay.
And
you of all people. Yeah. You need more plans.
Well, I have no plans this summer.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. Jake, your hot seat, cool throne.
Hot seat is frozen yogurt.
What?
Demi Lovato.
Oh, too soft. Yeah.
She is not happy with the positioning of the toppings at a certain shop, and she called it triggering and harmful of the positioning of low-fat and low-sugar options near the checkout counters. And well, she took it to Instagram.
I don't understand.
She, like, I think...
I have no idea what's happening in the world.
No.
Like, what is this show... What's going on?
Yeah, I mean, this is a real story.
Like, yeah. I don't understand this.
I think it was that she wanted to be, like, diabetes ice cream.
Yeah, but she apologized.
Oh, okay. So we're all good. No,
yeah,
problem.
We're all gone.
Fine. Good. I'll move on. I'm not gonna carry that weight around. I did get Halo Top last night.
That's
so
good.
I was
guilt-free.
I was
right?
wondering if that's problematic.
I don't know. I think it's disgusting.
That's fair.
It's like the most like you're almost eating ice cream, but you're totally not.
Correct. You know what it was? I saw the video that Big Cat tweeted out of the waffle being turned into the ice cream sundae, and I watched it, and I was like, I really want an ice cream sundae right now. And then I went to the ice cream store's website on Seamless, and I was like, you know what? I have an opportunity with a click of a button to not do as much damage to my six-pack that I'm sculpting for myself.
Yes.
And so I went with Halo Top, and I regretted it, but it was still something
sweet.
It's
like just shaved ice, whatever. I would rather just have real ice cream.
Fair. Cool throne is AFC Richmond because Ted Lasso is coming back July 23rd.
That quickly?
Yeah.
Fuck yes. Great show.
And within an hour of that announcement, the Super League disbanded.
Yep.
Right.
Can't help but
Richmond
notice.
Not part of that group. But
are they an actual team?
No.
I don't think so.
I love the colors. I love the kid.
Yeah.
They are fictional, but yeah, that's great
exciting.
News.
Yeah.
Billy?
Spin Zone, the Super League was promo for Ted Lasso come back out.
Ooh. Get everyone more into soccer in America. Americanized soccer.
I wouldn't put it past him because it was during the Apple Awards or whatever it is.
Yeah.
The showcase for the new Apples.
He's got to come on before season two.
Jason Sudeikis? Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah, sure.
He's a big time AWL.
Huge.
Yeah. I mean, it just makes sense.
I just want the kit. Really, that's all I need. I'm sick of seeing other people get mailed kits, and I've yet to receive an AFC Richmond kit.
Do you know that he's dating a woman in
Harry
England?
Styles?
No. Oh. Jason Sudeikis is dating a woman in England who's like was a magazine model named Keely. Isn't that crazy? That's Whoa. The name of the woman
is that
in the show?
Is that art imitating life or
it's
life imitating
crazy.
Art?
Yeah, real ones know who Keely Hazel is. She's OG,
Top Bun City.
Been around forever.
Okay, I'm missing something here, but that's all right.
No, you're not missing anything. I really just wanted you to put an ice cube on my erection.
Bonk.
We don't talk about that enough.
Yeah.
We talked about it. I felt like I
was taking crazy pills when it did kind of like just get slid under
He's
the rug.
He's a ride or die guy.
And it was like, what was the process of elimination?
You guys are PFT, you were a father. You guys understand how it is.
Wow, that's fucked up.
The only real weird stuff with animals going on this show.
Wait, what did you say, Billy?
The only real weird stuff with animals going on this show.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Billy.
Hank, I do want you to walk me through your decision making when.
Make a video.
You saw your dog with a giant boner. What ideas did pop in your head where you're like, no, I'm not going to do that. Instead, I'll put an ice cube on his penis.
All right. You want my fucking thought process?
Yes.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Boner pops out.
Uh huh.
Big ass dick just fucking hanging on the couch. I'm watching a movie. I looked at him. He was standing still, and I said, I'm just going to keep watching this movie and not even pay attention to you, and hopefully next time I look over, your boner's gone.
This is how girls feel in the morning
Ten minutes later, I look over, and he is in the same exact spot, has not moved, and is looking at me with the saddest, like, help me eyes you've ever seen. So my fatherly instincts kicked in.
Yep.
And I Googled it. I had Googled it in the past. That this is what people do. They're like, either put him in a bath.
You didn't even have to finish the sentence because it auto completed because you'd already done it.
No, I didn't even have to Google this time because I already had the knowledge stored from last time, and it was like
so Yahoo Answers.
It was like put him in a bath, and I was like, oh, that's way too much effort. I'm going to dry him off.
That's too sexual.
Bath. I'll just get an ice cube out, and you know.
So it came from your own brain.
Yeah, I audibled.
And did it go up instantly?
And the ice cube. Probably melted halfway through.
Oh my god, that was a hot boner.
I don't. Anyone listening that's fucking questioning this would do the same thing.
I had your back on Twitter. I said you were a ride or die guy. Like
you
if
would
I,
do, if your son had a boner.
No.
Hank, I think that's too far. I think you need to invent like a scarf. For his penis. Or like dog shorts. Because it's out of sight, out of mind. You don't care if he has a boner. You just don't want to see it.
You just don't want to drag it all over the place.
Trojan Tantrix things.
Yeah.
Get him a dog fleshlight.
Alright. Let's get to Julian Edelman. Before we do that, PFT, you had a quick word.
Hey, it's PFT here, talking about Peloton. Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton encourages you to get moving by doing what you can. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. That's why they have instructors who motivate you from day one with thousands of classes from all levels to get you started. I love my Peloton. I'm back on the Buns of Anarchy. I've been back on the bike if you want to join Buns of Anarchy. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or Bike Plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply. Now here he is, Julian Edelman.
Okay, we now welcome on our very good friend, future Hall of Famer, which we can talk about. It is Julian Edelman, fresh off retirement. I think we're the first show he's doing. I'm just going to say we're the first show he's doing. It's great to see you. We also, Jules, we got a little news about what he's got going on next, which is going to be great for him. That will actually be released on our Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, everywhere, because it can't be released until a little bit later on Wednesday, but we're excited for that, so we'll have that for everyone. But Jules, great to see you. Congrats on a retirement. How mad are you at us for asking you about retiring when you were totally thinking about retiring last time you were on in January?
Not at all. I mean, when you come on the show, when you come on here, you know nothing's off the table. And I was just laughing in my head, like, these motherfuckers.
So you lied to us.
Yeah.
I did not lie to you. There were two roads that I was looking at. One was you know, plane and one was not. And I tried to go down the plane road and it just, I couldn't do it. I can't do it right now.
Looking back, I do feel a little bad because I think if we had like thought about your reaction a little more, it was clear that you're like, what the fuck? Like, who have they talked to that this is even maybe on the table? So I apologize for that, but a great career nonetheless.
Thank you.
So I joked about the Hall of Fame, but it's obviously not a joke. Do you see any of that shit? Like, do you see the debate? Because I got mad for you that people were diminishing your career just because they were framing it in a Hall of Fame and not just he was really fucking good.
I mean, you see it out there, yeah. You definitely see it. But it is what it is, you know? Are you guys going to make the podcasting Hall of Fame?
Ooh. I don't know. It's tough to say while we're still competing. Right now, we're one day at a time.
Relations, you know, are you guys systematic podcasters? I don't know. Ooh. You know, do you guys are, is it because of, you know, Dave's going to come over here and he's the guy that's, you know, started this whole thing? I don't know.
Right.
These are all the type of the questions that I ask when I think about, you know, I think you guys are Hall of Fame podcasters.
Yeah. But I mean, we might send Billy down to Tampa for a year and then can we do it without him?
Yeah.
You know, you guys, when the moments are the toughest, I've always heard the best takes come from you.
Thank you.
When you needed a take in an absolute moment.
But Julian, does it matter that as podcasters,
your stats aren't there?
Yeah,
so like, the stats are not there.
If you look at
you're not Howard Stern. I mean, we're not there. Right. But you know what? The takes are there.
Right. So if you look at the longevity, like Howard Stern's a great example. He compiled a lot of stats because he had a super long career. But there are moments that it was big, like right around the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Later on in the season, that's when Big Cat, me, and Hank could be counted on to really step up. And sure, you know, we had some injury issues. We both had kidney stones.
Yep.
We've missed some shows here or there. But do you think that should be counted in judging us in the Hall of Fame?
I'm a guy that, you know, when I go to do something, I just go to win. And I just want to win. I didn't grow up thinking about a Hall of Fame. I grew up thinking about hosting a Lombardi Trophy. So, like, to me, I really don't know. But, you know, me to you guys, I think of all the things that you guys have done. I mean, there's a lot of great things there. Can you tell the story of podcast without you guys? I can't.
Ooh.
I cannot tell the story of podcast without you guys. So
here, I mean, I don't want to toot our own horn, but we're not going to quit podcasting because we like bump our knee a little bit and get a little owie.
Yeah, but I mean, say you guys take a little too much Adderall, you're skinny, you know, you're walking down and you slip and you hit your head and you know, you can't think as well. I don't know. Would you would you want to go out on top? Would you guys want to go out? I don't know these questions. This is theoretically speaking.
Yes.
So what about if Hank suffered an incident, or if Liam got hit by another car, God forbid, and he wanted to get back into podcasting, and he thought that the best way to get his brain back, maybe he would take a little performance-enhancing drug to be able to rejoin the show to come back and win another title. Do you think that should be held against him in his Hall of Fame resume?
You know what? That's a tough one.
I would say no.
Mm-hmm.
I would say you want to be out there with your guys.
Yeah.
Hey.
No days off.
I want to be out there with your guys.
Yes. Yes. What? So you're retired. You are retired. How long do you think, how many years do you think you'll be rumored to be going to the Bucks? Because Tom Brady's going to play for 10 more years. So I'd assume your name will be floated out there every single year that they might need an extra weapon.
How many years? I don't know. Probably as long as he's playing.
It's just going to be.
It also depends on the thirst level. If I'm throwing out a couple thirst traps out there, and I'm looking like I'm in shape. I mean, it could go crazy.
Uh-huh. If like something happens and Scotty Miller sprains an ankle, your name will be trending within 5 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Completely different player, but yes.
Right, but you know, you get it. Did you see the video that was out there of Belichick when you returned your first punt for a touchdown? And Wes was on the sidelines right next to him. And Bill asked him, hey, you know who Wally Pipp is? He's the guy that got replaced by Lou Gehrig. And then Wes Welker was like, yeah, well, he can have the punt return job if he wants it. That's fine. Did Bill ever say anything to you like that when Gunner first got on the field?
No. Never.
Did he look at you differently?
No.
He's like, this is an old hat. Would like, you, we don't need this.
Would you have said?
I don't know, man. I was always in Gunner's corner. You know, I've always been Gunner's. You know, I give Gunner all my tips. And, you know, it was kind of like, you know, I would compete again. I'm still competing against him. But, like, you know, we're different parts of our career then. You know, I was 12 years in when Gunner got in, and or 11 years in. And that was when, like, Wes was, like, 7 years deep. And he had it still going. So. You know, it was different. We also had a different relationship, me and Wes. It wasn't the same as, and Bill probably saw that.
Right.
He probably was, you know, digging at him a little just to get out under his skin to try to get him to play his best. That's what Bill does. He gets the best out of guys. So
yeah, you should root for Gunner because I'm pretty sure Gunner's like next 2 years count for your Hall of Fame career. Just like everyone just combined Wes Welker's last few years with your career, so you should be rooting for Gunner. Because we enough years go by and everyone be like, yeah, that, yeah, he was sick that 2021 year with Cam Newton.
Yeah, we'll see. We will see.
So you brought up thirst trapping. I know a lot of times like guys will say, oh, I'm going to miss the locker room. Will it be thirst trapping that you miss the most? Because I would imagine your body's not going to be in great shape.
A good old thirst trap definitely holds a spot in my heart.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's like it's between number two and number three Lombardi. It's like one, your first one, your last one, thirst trapping, then your middle one.
Maybe, yeah.
I would say that this might actually help your thirst trapping career because you get to focus on all the glamour muscles that you might not have had as much time for when you were, you know, just getting into football shape.
Yeah. You know, it's the running. When you run a lot, that's what keeps you cut. And when you can't run, I don't know. This is whole new territory for me, guys. If I come out here in like 6 months and have full dad bod,
that's gonna be bad.
I'm rooting for.
I'm absolutely rooting.
I want to see you get fat, and then we can make fun of you, and then you can get thin again.
Yeah,
that would bully you. Yeah, that'd be the best cycle.
That's America's story right there. You know, get someone down and then cut them down and get them back up. Let's do it.
Podcasting 101.
What is your knee like at just in general of like walking pain? Are you going to the gym? Like you have to. I mean, we can't have Julian Edelman get fat. As much as I want to, you know, you gotta be out there. Doing like, hey, happy Father's Day. Here's a picture of me shirtless. Hey, happy Mother's Day. Oh, here's a picture of me shirtless. You know, like that. That shit has to. Hey, Merry Christmas, guys. Happy, this is me at a pool.
Happy Yom Kippur.
Yeah, right, right.
We'll keep some stuff going. Hey, you know, we got a workout routine going, and my knee. I mean, it's different. You know, like it just doesn't function the way it wants to. You know, when you're bone on bone and you're missing things in there, like you don't want to run.
Right.
It's one of those things where you not only don't want to run, you really can't. So finding a way to fill that void is going to be, you know, my next life work.
You need a hobby. We need to figure out what your hobby is because I mean, you've told us so many times, like what your workout routines would be like, how like you would be, you, it's like cliche to say the last person out, but you would be working out all the time during football season. You need to find a hobby that can fill that void. Might I suggest frisbee golf, disc golf, excuse me.
Do you have to walk it?
Yeah. Bang chains, baby.
I mean, let's see how the shoulders are with the rotator cuffs. Maybe we'll get into that.
Ooh, those are bad too. So,
buddy. All right. We're 13 surgeries deep right now.
Yikes. So. Again, I mean, I'm not saying like PFT had surgery on his foot.
Uh-huh.
I got bit by a dog. We didn't quit. But whatever. That's fine. That's your prerogative. That's fine. No, I have a serious question, though. So obviously it sucks having to retire, having the end of the road. But is it a silver lining like you just know you can't do it instead of I physically can do it, but I'm not the same ability that I was. Because I feel like that would be hurt more if you were physically feeling okay to do it, but just weren't as quick or shifty. This is really like, hey, it can't happen. Like, I can't, my knee cannot do it.
No, it's almost satisfying because I left everything on the field, honestly. Like, you know, I'm not a greedy guy. What else do I have to play for? I set out to go out and make a team, try to win some championships. And honestly, I've accomplished everything plus more than I ever thought I would have going into my rookie year. Like, if I were in my rookie year to look on to my career and say, this is what it's going to be, I would have said, nah, no shot.
Right. Just,
that's how much work I had to put into this whole thing. And, you know, it's something where I'm proud of my career. I'm proud of everything. I'm proud of the relationships, you know, the teams I've been a part of. And, you know, Father Time is undefeated. And, you know, that's just how it goes. And I'm not going to go out there and try to play on something where you look like a bobblehead out there, like a 36-year-old old guy lacing up the knee brace. The back break, you know, I don't want to have that. I don't want to look like that. I respect the game too much. It's been too good to me. So, you know, it's one of those things where if I can't go out there and be the player that I know I am in this league and that I've been for, you know, a consistent period of time, you know, I have no problem walking away because, you know, I enjoyed the time that I did have in this league.
Yeah. The way that you're talking right now, you're actually making a great case for yourself for the Hall. Like, Peter King's going to listen to that answer and be like, this guy gets it. Julian gets it.
He gave to the sport.
Yeah.
More than the sport gave to him.
Yes. You should say that you're going to have Peter King do your induction speech if you do get into the Hall.
If I ever do, one of you guys will do my induction speech. It'll be a duet from you two and, like, father.
We would be like, so Julian, not really a Hall of Famer when you put him up against Reggie Wayne. Where's Hines Ward? Why hasn't he been inducted in?
I would just point to people in the audience and be like, that's John Madden down there. That's amazing.
What's up, Grudes? Yeah. It would be sick. Yeah.
Yeah, you're never going to get in if that's your answer.
Yeah. Yeah, they will keep you out for that.
If you're looking back, though, at your career, because you had a lot of amazing moments, obviously, like winning the Super Bowls, getting the trophies, is there one moment or one play that you think of and you're like, I'm the most proud of that play? Not necessarily your best play or the one that we all have seen in highlights a lot, but, like, is there one play where you're like, that's who I was as a football player?
I loved the 3rd and 14 against the Seattle Seahawks, getting, you know, when Tom hit me late across the middle and Cam Chancellor, you know, put a little heat on me and hit me hard. And, you know, that whole week going into that game, all we kept on hearing was the Legion of Boom, the no fly zone, the this, the that. And, you know, that was a cool moment when, you know, I knew I got his best and I was able to get up and go and then, you know, make a play in the next couple plays. Like, you know, like that, hey, we're here to play. We may not be the flashy, you know, skill position group. We're not the Legion of Boom. We're not this, which I have nothing but respect for those guys. Those guys were studs. Earl Thomas, Sherm, freaking Chancellor. But, you know, that was like one of the things. That was my play that I love. That's hard nosed football right there. That's what I always, you know, when I transferred to receiver, it was always, can you make the catch over the middle?
Yeah.
You know, and that was the catch over the middle in the biggest moment, you know. So that was a fun play. And then I'd say my favorite memory would probably have to be when we went to Kansas City and won that game in 18. You know, just the sheer fact that my generation of Patriots, we never won on the road in the playoffs. And, you know, that was our first task going to the road. And we got beaten Denver twice by Denver, close games, last plays of the game. And, you know, to go into Kansas City, which that place gets rocking, and that team's a really good team. And, you know, to go in and get that W and against that the odds of that game, and it was special. That's a special one. The flight home, you know, those are what you're gonna miss. You know, the flights, and you know, that was a fun game.
So you just said your favorite play. Hank texted us. He said a concussion was his favorite play. Were you concussed in that play, the 3rd and 14?
Everyone thinks I was, but not. I wasn't concussed.
You got smoked.
I got smoked. I definitely got smoked. The thing is, on the punt return right before that, I don't know if it was that one. I took a hit pointer, and I've said this on air before. I took a hit pointer, and I could barely walk. But when a play goes, especially in a Super Bowl, like everything, there's no pain. But in between plays, you're like, oh, shoot, that hurts. Oh, no, that hurts. All right, set that. All right, and then we go. And so, like, after that, I mean, I was tired. We were going no huddle. Like, it was a pretty big play. And I was, like, trying to get up, and Dola's right there. And, you know, I couldn't – my hip pulled on me. You know, I don't think I had a concussion.
Do you remember getting hit?
Yeah.
Like, you remember the actual hit and how
I remember
felt?
Actually, you know, I remember because it was 10. It was X stock 10, and I had the outside. I was the F. I had the 20-yard in cut, and they were playing a P coverage, meaning they were dropping a guy. So Tom was going to have time. They were given 8 defenders in the secondary, basically. And so I was running late across the middle, and I was 20 yards downfield, and I knew that someone – anytime you're going late across that middle, especially that deep, you got to start thinking about the post safety, and they you know, that's their whole thing is they run that cover 6, which you guys will learn, whatever. So I'm going late across the middle, and I look at Tom. I kind of saw Chancellor, so I knew that's if you see the play, I brace for the hit. And
yeah,
I'm
watching it right now, and for context, for people who don't like remember it off the top of their head, it's 11 minutes left in the Super Bowl. And the Patriots are down 10 on their own side of the field in 3rd and 14. So, like, if you don't catch that ball, it, you know, I mean, I maybe he punts. I mean, you probably punt because you got 3 timeouts, but that it might change everything. It might change history there if you don't catch that ball and you're forcing a 4th and 14 on your own 30.
Yeah, no, it was, you know, it was a big part of the game. And, you know, that, you know, that's what you try to do. That's why you lace them up, man. You dream for those moments.
Yeah. So along that line, like, I think, not to keep going with the Hall of Fame thing, but you obviously were huge in the big moments and the clutch moments. We always have had this discussion about the clutch gene. Did you feel like in a big moment, like things got slower for you, or it's like, I just know I'm going to come through. I know that I'm going to make a big play here. And like, did you feel that with Brady?
There were a few moments in my career where you feel that, like, that zone where things are going slow. And in some parts of that game in Seattle, I felt that. In a very small amount of parts of the game in Atlanta, I felt that. And then, like, all the game against LA, I felt that. But, like, those key moments and those zone moments you get, I always felt like I got those through, like, the weeks of preparation, or, like, especially with, like, the Super Bowl week, you get 2 weeks. And like, I feel like the first one we got there, I was so nervous, and I wanted to go out and be able to make plays. So I made my routine. I sharpened my routine. I did everything that I did during the regular season plus more. And Bill does a great job of, you know, he does a really good job of making practice hard. I know everyone says, oh, well, it's just practice. But when you're doing things in practice in certain situations, he'll just say in the middle of a practice, all right, it's 3rd and 14. There's 1 minute, you go, you have no timeouts and you have to get to here. Like in between a period. So like he's putting that on you right there, and it's a competitive period. And if you can go do it in practice and you've done it in practice a few times, you're subconsciously you've already done it. So that's how I thought. That's how I've always dealt with those situations and those times in my career that, like, you're really zoned in. It was always after those weeks of practice that you, like, you had those plays. Like, I remember when Tom hit me on that one play where it was the tip ball and we caught it. I knew that guy was coming to me because we hit that play like 3 times in practice that week. So regardless if I was covered or not, he was coming to that play because we're confident in what we saw that week in practice, you know? So, like, that's how it always happens.
So along those lines, I mean, everyone always says one of the great things about Tom Brady is that he'll throw to the open guy. Like, he won't play favorites. If you're open, if you can get open, he'll throw to you. But were there moments where you would say to him, like, yo, I'm in the zone. Like, I will catch whatever you throw to me. Like, get it to me. I'm that guy.
We definitely had some times and some moments where he would just look at me and we would do something completely that, like, we weren't supposed to do. And the coaches used to get on us all the time. Like, all right, like, I know you guys are doing what you guys do and we can't say anything because you guys execute. Because, like, that coaches get mad with that kind of stuff.
Right.
Go and do your own thing. And there'd be a couple times where, like, he would give me, you know, a signal or it'd be a quick out. And I knew he saw that I couldn't run a quick out here because this is nothing there. And I knew that he saw that we were backside and a slant would be wide open. I would just run a slant and this guy would hit me on the slant. We'd go 15, 20 yards at the gate on it. Like, that happened over in a Miami game one of those Heat games. We ended up losing we won that game. It was a late game, but that was in like 14 or 2013 or something like that. Where, like, there'd be times where we would just kind of do our own thing. And because of the years that we had off the field where we would go to Montana or we would go to UCLA, we'd go to all these places and we would run the same play, which you could do like five different things on that same play according to each coverage that you get. And we would have our, like, some of our, you know, friends that are out there helping us, like, just try to cover, like, two or three guys try to cover me. And, like, even though they don't know how to cover, they could cover area and he could read body language and I could read his body language. I could see what he would want. You know, those things helped us when we were to get into games.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That shit's fascinating.
I've always wondered if you watch the film of a Super Bowl after it's over. Like, do you sit down as a team and ever break that down? Or is it just one of those games where it's like, what happened is the end of this season, we're going to wait till next season, start over again?
You don't, because once you're done with the season, you know, like, there's no more, like, film corrections or anything, especially after that game. You have the parade, you have this, you have that, and everyone breaks. But then, like, when spring comes and all of a sudden they'll have a cut up of plays, installation, because that's what spring is. You're installing the offense basically for all the new guys and, you know, whatever. Like, you'll get, like, a play from here, a play from there, and then you'll get a Super Bowl play and everyone's ears kind of get up and shoulders go back and, like, look, and the new guys that weren't involved in the Super Bowl are sitting there like, man, they're in the Super Bowl, or, like, you know, that's when you see it, you know, but you never really watch it as a team.
Yeah. What did Coach Belichick say to you when you were like, all right, this is the end of the road? Did he text? Did he call? I hope he called.
No, we had a wonderful conversation on the phone, and you know, he thanked me and I thanked him, and, you know, I'll leave the words between us, but, like, it was something that was, you know, it really touched me. And because, you know, he's a man of few compliments, because that's his shtick. You know, his thing is, I don't care who the hell you are, you're on the table to get MF'd if you don't do your job, which I always needed that. I loved that. My dad did that with me growing up. Like, it was a tough love thing what I grew up with. And so, like, to, you know, hear Coach say that, some of the things he said, I mean, that was, you know, that really made my farewell. That made it.
Did he, like, read off your home address? He's like, Julian, you still live at this location and you have this many people living with you. And just want to make sure that as you advance your career, you keep everything that happened in New England between us.
No, he didn't say any of that. No.
Did Ernie call you?
No, Ernie. I haven't talked to Ernie.
Oh, no.
I love Ernie, too. No, Ernie did not.
No, go ahead. Tell the Ernie story. Tell an Ernie story. You wanted to tell an Ernie story.
Well, Ernie's the kind of guy, bro. Like, Ernie comes into the facility and, like, we have, like, our cafeteria, and every day you'll see Ernie. He's an early bird, or he'll just be sitting at a lunch table with a huge ass, like, heirloom tomato. That's all he has in his hand. And he's got, like, a fork and knife, and he'll just be eating the tomato. And I always like bust his balls. Like, hey, the tomatoes in season right now. Like, he'd be like, yep, they are. You know, like he's not a real big talker unless you talk football. And you know, over the years we've had an awesome relationship, and I always bust his balls on what he used to wear and stuff, because he wears like he was wearing these plaid suits from like 1970, like in like 2009, 10. And then they came back in like what, like 2014, 15, and then I'd be like, Ernie, man, you've been wearing that thing through the trend. He goes, they never went out of style. Like, you know, like he just has these little witty comments that are awesome, and you know, I'm gonna miss him for sure.
Yeah,
yeah. Are you gonna miss doing the hype videos before the games? Because you were addicted to those as much as you were for doing the thirst traps.
You know what I loved. So that all started back in high school. Like, I was the kid who, after the year was done, I worked at this place called the Rikus Center, which it was a training facility. It helped you, like, your speed and stuff. But it also had, like a film studio, like a editing studio, this, that. So I would always make all, like, the team highlight tapes after the season and, like, throw it on with some, like, AC/DC. And so that's where that all developed. But you got to throw a hype video. Will always be there, man.
You can do hype videos for your thirst traps.
Yeah.
Like, show you getting ready to make the thirst trap and then have it all culminate in, like, one click of a camera with your shirt off.
Yeah, let me think about that.
How many times did you watch one of your hype? You were really good at them. I know you have a staff, but some of them were incredible by the end. Would you watch them yourself, like, over and over and over?
I would be part of it. Like, sometimes I would be like, yo, I want this here. I want this. And like, I had the last button.
Which one was your favorite?
I liked the cartoon ones when we were doing the cartoon ones back in 18. What was our cartoonist guy's name?
Frazier.
Yeah. This Frazier. We found him and we got in contact with this guy, and he made like this Rocky one. Or like I was climbing the mountain, or the one with like the arrow, and he, you know, and I caught the arrow and like looked it in the eye. And like, I've always been a fan of a huge, like, awesome montage, like a 90s, late 80s movie montage, Rocky, Cobra, you know, all those. That's just, I loved those. I loved like music and guys training.
It could be a good little transition for you. You said you need a hobby. You could direct other guys' hype videos. You could put them together. You could be a writer of hype videos.
You guys started as writers and then became podcasts.
Right.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
So who's one guy in the NFL right now that you would like to produce a hype video for?
And why is it Jameis Winston? He could use one too. Like, I feel like I saw that video that was going viral where he was like, you know, I was the number one pick and then everyone shit on me. I think he might win a Super Bowl with enough of your hype videos.
Yeah, I'm not going to go with Jameis on that one. I'll let him do his own hype videos. Who would I give a hype video to?
DK. DK would make for an awesome hype video. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but he's already hyped. I want a guy that's not hyped.
Scotty Miller?
Scotty Miller could be a good hype guy.
Get your foot in the door with Scotty Miller.
Yeah, so that you can cut him in the back. Good. Yeah. You could just swap out, like, this next year's Super Bowl. Scotty Miller looks a little bit like Julian Edelman. Like, you kidnapped him.
You go with the Burrow?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We could get you doing bros. I was just going to add on to
comeback. You need the comeback hype.
Yes.
You know, it's kind of like Eye of the Tiger. You know, you're back in the streets. You got to, you know what I mean? You've been trading what you really want for, you know, the glory. And then something happens. And then now you got to get back on your horse and fucking get back on top. So, like, that's the story I always liked.
I like that. You're passionate about that one, too.
I don't want the guy at the top. I want the guy that's on the bottom.
Andy Dalton. Come on.
I think we get started with the Joe Burrow hype video, because I can tell you're passionate about it. You already got the soundtrack for it with Eye of the Tiger, it sounds like. He's a knee guy. You're a knee guy. knee guy, it seems like a perfect fit. Although if you did do the Scotty Miller one, you could like add in like very sneakily a couple clips of him dropping the ball into his hype video and don't tell him about that. And that way when it comes out, it's like, hey, Scotty Miller really drops the ball a lot. I wonder if there's anybody else out there that could play. But I like the Joe Burrow one. I like that idea.
Me too. I like them both.
Yes. Who's your favorite teammate?
That's so tough, man.
Give us one. And then your least favorite, obviously. We need both. You could actually, I mean, you could say Aaron Hernandez, you know, right?
Yeah. Easy way out.
That's an easy answer.
It's tough, you know, like, it's tough for your favorite. You have, like, a group of guys that you came in with, a group of guys that you're around. You know, Matthew Slater, you know, he was, we lived together for a long time. And you know, him and his family have been an unbelievable influence on just me. You know, I'm a wild man. Everyone knows that. And Matt is like literally like the reverend. And we had like two polar opposite sides of everything. And like, we lived together. And, you know, when times were like, you know, at its lows, my guy would always help me mentally. And he would always be the guy. And, you know, when times were high, he was the one to remind me like, yo, this is where you can, you know what I mean? So like, I loved him. Matthew Slater is, you know, he'll be a brother for life. You know, the Rob Ninkoviches, we used to get after it. Danny, when he came into the picture, he was always an unbelievable teammate. James Devlin, like when James Devlin, he was an ultimate teammate. This guy would just he didn't say much, but he would be in the weight room and he'd have his smelling salts, his chalk. He'd be all braced up to squat and he'd hype you up when you were getting in there. Like, you know, and he was just always a class teammate. Tom, of course. I mean, I love Tom.
Who?
Brady.
Oh.
He's been, he's been like an older brother for me. Mm-hmm. And, but he was always kind of like, you know, he was the older brother that, you know, you hung out with them, but you had like your little slapdick friends too, that right, like before you were cool enough to hang out with your older brother, like you hung out with. So I always, you know, had those guys and there's so many more.
I noticed you didn't mention Gronk. Interesting.
Oh, Gronk.
Why did you and Gronk have a falling out?
We never had a falling out. It's just, you know, Gronk was like, he legit was like having just a big old teddy bear at work every day. So like, you know, I would be an intense guy always. A lot of the time I'd be a jokester too, but like I was very intense. And to have that, like, you know, to have a guy like Gronk, who the game just came so easy. This guy was like, just having fun. Like you'd see him in the corner of his locker, like playing with like a tape and like laughing and like, you know, you needed that. You definitely needed that. So Gronk's definitely up there.
I think we should put that, your description of James Devlin there, that should be part of your Hall of Fame resume, because the excitement that you had there to explain someone getting ready to like go to war at the squat rack, that's a football guy. Like you, I could see in your eyes thinking about him just lifting got you excited in the moment.
Well, you know, James came from a very similar story, man. Like he was defensive lineman at Brown. He was like a D-end or something. And he worked his way to becoming, you know, one of the best fullbacks in the game. Like we live and died by James. Like yeah, he did so much for this team, you know, in the special team game. Like, and you never heard anything from him, you know, and there was times where like I'd be sitting there and I want to say something. But then you look at a guy like James who he doesn't ever touch the rock or anything. And this guy is like just gung-ho, excited to be there. Coffee, let's go, weight room, smelling salt. Like that's James Devlin. And those are the guys that you're going to remember.
Yeah. You know?
That one play they had in the Super Bowl, I think it was against the Rams, because he had to block Ndamukong Suh. And he laid a wham on him, and you could tell like he knew that he was about to get knocked out. in that play. He was going to get run over, but he was like, you know what? I have to do this, and I'm just going to like I'm going to run headfirst into this guy, and it worked. It worked. You had a couple big blocks in the Super Bowls too. How come people don't talk about your blocking ability?
I don't know, man. I just do what the team asked me to do.
I love it.
Yeah. Put that on the resume.
You know, it's – I mean, that's a huge part. Like, I remember – and that's a huge reason of that, of our blocking as New England receivers, was because of Chad O'Shea. You know, when I first got there, Chad O'Shea just – he just got there. I believe he's in Cleveland now. He went with Flores to Miami as the OC, and then now he's the receiver coach at Cleveland. But, like, Bill would always just say two things to the receiver. Just get open and catch the fucking ball. That's what you do as receiver, all right? And then we'd go in the room, and Chad would be like, and compete in the run game. And we're competing in the run game. You don't know, you catch the ball, and you compete in the run game. And, you know, like, it was just, you know, I had guys before me that were awesome blockers, and so that's what you learn when you're a younger guy. And, you know, you can't be afraid to go in and block. It's an effort thing. And, you know, and James Devlin, he's the type of guy that motivated you too. Cause he craved head injuries. This guy like wanted to go knock himself out. That's when he knew he had a good block. Like, so when you see a guy like that, then you're like, man, I got to go do the same thing.
Yeah. So we're going to, like I said at the start of the interview, we know what Jules got going on next. We're going to put it out on all of our social, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, everywhere, when the announcement can be made. So make sure you check that out. But I know what you're going to be doing next.
He's going to be Jack Easterby's hype man.
Jack Easterby's hype man. The way you're talking right now, is there any chance maybe coaching?
You know what? No, probably not. You know, I have too much, like, I want to have a life. Like, I've lived this now for 12 years of, like, literally 14-hour days. Like, get up, 4:30, get to the facility, 5:15, body work, workout, ball drill, meetings, practice, more workout, more meeting. Like, and the coaches are there for, like, 18 hours. And the sheer fact that I've seen this group do that, if I were to go somewhere else and not do that, then I'm thinking like, all right, I'm already in the hole because I don't feel like doing that anymore. You know what I mean? Which I'll probably end up transferring and doing that in the next life. But like right now, like, nah, I have no interest into it. Maybe like, you know, I always tell the scouts, if you need a guy in LA to look a guy or receiver, work him out. And because I always say, like, what are we doing? Like, let me look a guy in the eyes and I'll tell you if he can play or not.
Ooh.
Like, that's what it is. It's in the huddle. When you're in a huddle, you like, there's false eyes and there's not. Like, you need to be able to look a dude in his eyes and like really see if that guy, if he's ready for when it's going to come.
Yeah. Like that answer.
Who had the best huddle eyes? Whose eyes were the readiest?
Brady's got insane huddle eyes. Brady, because, you know, I mean, he's already got like the, you know, Zoolander, like Blue Steel, like look, and like he give you that eye and like, Jules, let's go. I'm like, yeah.
We got to clip that.
I think
that was like Julian Edelman's entire career right there summed up in a second and a half.
Yeah, you know, the funniest eyes would be Gronk. Gronk would be like looking at you like, that's the one guy who's got a great poker face. You just don't know where it's going. He just look at Gronk's eyes and you think like, man, is Gronk tired or what's going on? And then he'd have like a 50-yard catch and like be six guys and he'd come in like, oh, I'm a little tired after that one. And then he'd go like stiff arm like three guys.
Yeah.
Heck of a time.
Billy, yeah. You have any questions for Jules?
Well, yeah, let me do the last question.
Hey, it's PFT here talking about Peloton. Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton encourages you to get moving by doing what you can. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. That's why they have instructors who motivate you from day one with thousands of classes from all levels to get you started. I love my Peloton. I'm back on the Buns of Anarchy. I've been back on the bike if you want to join Buns of Anarchy. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or Bike Plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
So my question is going to be pretty hard hitting.
Let's hear it. I always, hey, I'll tell you right now, my guy knows some football. I hear your takes, Billy. I listen. I hear your takes, buddy.
Appreciate it.
Football and frogs.
So many Belichick disciples have been hired as head coaches outside of the Patriots. And why haven't they been able to recreate the Patriot way outside of Foxborough?
Good job, Billy. Throwback question.
It's hard to go in and try to be Bill Belichick without being Bill Belichick. You know, you can't just go in and demand, you know, the respect and put like this crazy, you know, work schedule and this schedule and, you know, attention to detail and the practice, like intensity, like you have to kind of massage that in for a group that has never really had that. You can't just go and demand it. You know, Bill can literally, you know, Bill's coached in the league for 40 years. You know, he started with the Baltimore Colts, bro. Like, he's been around this. He's seen every position, every type of player, like, in the thousands. So, like, it's hard for a guy to, like, not – you can't just go and try to copy what he does. It's not going to be you. I think that's – that. A lot of it has to do with that. A lot of these guys – you know, they go in, they try to be a hard dick or they try to be this and they try to, you know, they try to do everything that Bill does. You can learn a lot from that. And I don't know. I never played for another coach and I'm not saying it could have been different. There's different circumstances with everything, but, you know, just, I don't think you can just go and demand, you know, a team like your Bill Belichick unless you're Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
Good answer.
Good answer. Was good there, question, Billy.
Was there anything that he ever tried to do, like a new wrinkle that he tried to add or a different way of doing things around the building where he recognized that this way wasn't working and had to, like, walk it back and be like, I tried something new, didn't work, let's go back to the old way?
Yeah, there was a time where, like, we were talking about, like, team unity or something, and, like, guys started putting cornhole in the locker room. And then, like, we ended up, like, losing a game or something, and we go right in. There's no more cornhole. So it was gone. You know, like, you know, but Bill does a great job. He's evolved, man. He's an evolver. That's why he's been able to stick around and do the things that he's done. I mean, you know, having Tom Brady has obviously helped a lot as well. But, you know, he's very in tune with evolution. Like, I remember when it was 2000. You know, like 14, and like he bring in, you know, a bunch of the like a group of leaders, and like he broke down to us like, all right, guys, this, we got a new generation of guys. This is what, you know, like, this is how they're learning in college. This is what we're going to have to end up evolving to. This is how they, you know, they're not just like this. They're guys that are going to be like this, and they've been on this, and, you know, so he's always thinking about that.
Yeah. I mean, I do think that, like, a Belichick and a Saban, we joke about how set they are in their ways and how old they are, but they do clearly do something when it comes to the evolution of, you know, how they think and what they're changing year to year.
Definitely.
I mean, you saw it in your time. You went from – there was a time when you guys were throwing the ball everywhere, and then you became a power running team.
I would – yeah. Like, my rookie year and then – was 2009. We had Moss, Welker, Joey Galloway, and we were throwing a bunch. We were kind of like lost in that whole. We were just we didn't have an identity. And then the next year we got we got Hernandez and Gronk, and we completely evolved the game to, you know, matchups and chess matches where, all right, if they're going to have sub personnel on defense, we're going to keep our 12 personnel in. And if they go big boys, we're going to spread them out. And then that became a trend now. Look at the tight end position. I mean, he kind of started that. If you think about it, he had Gronk and Hernandez. Mm-hmm. Like, that was like the beginning of that whole athletic, this tight end is like the baddest dude. Let's do these things, you know, for these guys. So, I mean, he always builds his teams to what he has. So, you know, that's what – he does.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so this has been awesome, man. Again, tune in 9:30. We're going to drop it everywhere.
What's this thing? Well, I was hearing you guys talk this Billy Football was talking about He's getting on a keto diet or something, and you're getting on a meat diet?
Yeah.
Well, Billy, he cycles us on and off of diets pretty frequently, but he didn't do his research because apparently keto is like the last thing that you should do if you have kidney stones, which of this show does have kidney stones.
So you guys aren't doing a meat diet?
I think I'm going to do OMAD.
What is that?
One meal a day.
I was gonna send you guys some meat. This meat.
Yeah.
This,
oh yeah. Okay. Yes. All right. Yeah.
No, we're doing the meat diet. We're doing meat diet. Going carnivore.
This is insane.
Yes.
I need it right over there by that. What is that? A Colorado Kool-Aid right there? Coors.
We got Coors. Yeah.
Oh, I like
Colorado Kool-Aid. We're stealing that one.
Shit. We're cutting that and stealing it. Yeah.
Being a West Coast kid, and then I went to Ohio for college. We always drank Coors Light and like that brand of beer, and then we went out. I went out there. It was like Miller and Bud. I was like, "What's going on?"
Bleep those. Yeah. Bleep those. We'll bleep those.
Sorry, you had to deal with that.
Yes.
Bleep those. I was more of a Colorado Kool-Aid guy.
Yeah. Hell yeah. All right. Well, Jules, thank you. And again, everyone, check out 9:30. We're going to put it everywhere. Awesome things coming for Julian, and you're always welcome on this show. You're a recurring guest, Hall of Famer, and a Thirst Trap Hall of Famer. So there's two Hall of Fames right there.
Hey, man, I appreciate it, guys.
Most guys have tried different ways to last longer in bed, but thinking about baseball doesn't always work. The folks at Roman, an online men's health company, are changing the game with Roman Swipes. It's the secret to longer-lasting sex. Roman Swipes are a clinically proven way to last longer in bed. Hey, guys.
Yeah?
Maybe the Super League could have used some Roman Swipes.
Oh!
Would have lasted longer. Roman can ship swipes to you in discreet, unmarked packaging, and each swipes packet is small enough to hide in your wallet for whenever you need it. They're super easy to use. Just take the swipes out of the packet, swipe it on, let it dry. You're good to go. That's it. Go to GetRoman.com/take. You can get your first month of swipes for just $5. Choose a monthly plan. Go to GetRoman.com/take.
Okay, we're going to finish up with some FAQs. Reminder, go watch where Jules is going to be on our Twitter and Instagram, and we'll retweet it. Fun stuff for him going forward. Awesome interview by him. Also, before we do FAQs, a little housekeeping. Billy Football, our son, I had a talk with him last night because I was getting frustrated, and it was a situation where I didn't want to keep getting frustrated. So Billy's going to go away for a month and a half. At the end of next week.
He's retiring.
He's going to basically I'll explain the whole thing.
Much better explained as being like the Rumspringer, like with the Amish.
Yeah.
Where they go out into the real world, they sow some oats. Billy just wrapped up college. He's going to have fun for a couple months, come back refreshed, and at that point, Billy, you can decide whether you want to rejoin the family or be shunned for the rest of your life.
Right. The way I put it is Billy, on Sunday, he was maybe came in a little drunk, and then on Monday, he came up to me and was like, hey, I accidentally booked tickets to on Wednesday. And I said to myself,
classic.
I said to myself, I'm tired of being the bad cop with Billy all the time and being the guy who's got to yell at him because then I get mad at him, and then it comes through in the show, and people are like, don't be mean to Billy. It's like, well, he's half in, half out right now, which I understand because it's your senior year. So I told Billy, I was like, listen, why don't you go? Enjoy your senior year. No regrets. You can have fun. You don't have to worry about this show. You can fucking ball out. And then when you come back in June, and I told you, pick a date that you're ready to go 100%, want it all out of your system. And then when you're back, you're ready to roll, and you actually will, you know, not frustrate me.
You
hopefully.
It's very fair, to be honest. I've been, you know, half in, half out, you know, doing as much as I can, but also, you know,
half in, half out. Yeah.
Like, as much as you can is not true.
But I also, in the next coming weeks, I have stuff like finals, senior presentations.
Enjoying your time with your boys.
Right. Family stuff.
All kinds of stumps that need exploring.
Yeah, so here's the deal. Billy's going to go. He's not going to come to the office. Next Thursday will be his last time in the office for a month and a half. He's not going to come to the office. If he wants to Zoom in, he's more than welcome to, but we're not going to expect anything from him. That way, there's no disappointment, there's no anger, there's no frustration. It's just Billy's gone for a little bit. If he wants to check in, he's more than welcome to, because we love him and he's part of this show. And if he doesn't, and he wants to just get drunk for a month and a half, 2 months, 3 months, whatever, when he comes back, we'll be ready to roll.
I cannot wait to come back.
Don't make a promise. No, don't make a promise. You
will get 100%.
Okay, as soon as school's over and your month after school's over.
No. Yeah, I'm going to come back.
No, I told him, PFT. I was like, June. He was like, I'll be back June 2nd. I was like, Billy,
really,
maybe
it's a hard date. Yeah.
Couple weeks after that.
So like, how about
pick
this,
your
Billy?
Date.
No, I'll be back.
Can you give us a report of how you spent your summer vacation?
You will. You'll come back with one. That'll be your only assignment.
But I'm coming back in the beginning of summer.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this is your summer vacation. Yes. Your spring's, yes. Your early summer vacation. Yes.
True. Spring break.
So next Friday, we'll have our last show with Billy for at least a month and a half in person, and we'll do something special for it. And then we'll send our little boy off to graduate. And then that will diffuse me having to be the strict parent with you.
True. I mean, not many college kids also podcast. So there's a little bit of
right. You're doing an incredible job.
No college kid has ever had a part-time job.
No, Billy's right. The schedule that Billy's been forced to keep up between
I'm very grateful for
three podcasts a week.
Yes. All right. But we're gonna kick the hell out of draft week, right?
Exactly.
Right. Yep. We're gonna maybe get some shit going for draft week.
Oh yeah, we got Chipotle bowls to analyze. We got all sorts of stuff.
Yeah. All right. We'll have a special draft week. I'm excited for that. All right. Let's do some FAQs.
Ask for some high FAQ related given the day today. What is your guys' weirdest experience high?
Weirdest experience high. I went to go see. I saw 311 perform on 311 Day one time in New Orleans, and it was my first time ever seeing them play. And when they do that show, they play for like 5 hours. Mm-hmm. And so being high and then getting sober and then being high again, I'm like, I thought that they played. Like all mixed up six times during the course of their set. Just any time that you're high for longer than 5 hours at a time, can things start to kind of mold together a little bit, and it makes it an awkward experience.
I would say the I don't know if eating mushrooms also counts as being high, even though it's 420. But I in Madison, I walked all the way across a frozen Lake Mendota and then back, and on the way back, collected a bunch of like wood and timber and branches and thought it was like the coolest thing ever. It was like, I'm gonna fucking decorate my apartment with all these branches and it's gonna be like a fucking tree house. And then I woke up the next day and there was just like my whole apartment was full of trees.
You turned into a squirrel.
It was fucking so stupid.
You're like a beaver. A beaver,
so stupid. Yeah. But it was sick.
I would
at
say,
the time.
I would also add when I took MDMA in Hong Kong, and then I started laughing because Carlin Isles was so fast. And I started laughing so much that I started to cry.
That's beautiful.
Because a man was so fast on the field.
Hi, boys. I'm looking for advice from Billy.
Oh, he's a great one to give it out.
I'm a model, and I have a casting for a national brand athletic wear company. In the video, they want me to show how hard I train when I work out. But being a model, I literally only do cardio and light body weight exercises. How do I convince them I'm an athlete?
What you got to do is you got to do burpees.
Yeah.
But do one really good one where you jump, like almost do a worm, and then bounce up off your arms. You can do that because you're light and you don't have that much body mass. And that looks super athletic. And then also do stuff like any sort of like pull-up repetitions,
pull-ups.
But just splice it so it looks like you're doing a bunch of them, but it's really just you doing it once.
Is this a male model or a female model?
Does it matter?
No, come because on, Billy was answering like it was a female model.
No.
Pull-ups.
He says he can't do any weight training.
She/her.
Okay. So show that you can take a hit. Get tackled. And then people be like, that's an athlete.
Yeah. Pull-ups is a good one, though, Billy. Yeah. Pull-ups is like one of those ones where you're like, oh, that person knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
Not CrossFit pull-ups, though.
No, not the kipping or fucking bullshit.
Big Cat, cleaning question. Do you still pee down the sink to sanitize it?
I do still pee in sinks. Not often. It's more out of just like, I don't know, a little bit of boredom, a little bit of like, I'll be like doing the dishes. One thing they don't tell you is when you have a kid, there's like 17 loads of dishes every single day. So I'll just be standing there doing the dishes, finish the dishes, be like, job well done, pee in the sink. You know, just kind of a treat for myself.
If you have a dog that drinks out of the bowl.
What about it?
Just pee in the sink.
What?
What?
You know how dogs drink out of toilet bowls?
Yeah. My house does. My house has locks on everything.
Oh, so you're making sure that your dog's not drinking your pee.
Got it.
That's the one that gets forgotten about for the flush sometimes.
Understood.
Yeah.
I will never know the pleasure of being in a sink. I think you have to be at least like 6'2 to pull that off.
Mm-hmm. They're small sink. We'll get you one.
A private sink just for peeing?
Yeah, we'll build you one.
Speaking
of, I've been thinking about, like, how cool would that be to just cut a hole in your wall of your apartment, and you can just, like, piss out the wall.
Yeah.
Nobody would ever know.
Or a trash hole.
Yeah, exactly. It would just feel like mystery water, the air conditioning water that hits you every summer in New York, which, by the way, that's another Who's Back of the Week is mystery water. Yes. When you're walking down the sidewalk.
Big time. Just getting jizzed on.
Speaking of high, how come some podcasts randomly go higher than you guys in the podcast ranking sometimes?
Oh.
Does that mean they get more listeners?
Good question.
No, that's a great question. No, it does not. Ranking. I think so. If you start a new podcast, your podcast is always going to be, it just goes to number one. That's right. Just how it works.
We've been around for so long that we forgot, like, that also happened to us. And we also did tell everyone, like, we're number one.
I was like, I'm bigger than Serial, bitch.
Right. But then you realize, okay, that's not exactly how it works. The way that the way to, like, realize the success of shows is episodes. So if you go to the episode page, you can see where shows are ranked. And that's why, you know, we'll see the chirps every now and then. Be like, oh, someone else is number one. Just look at the episodes, bitch. We're there. I mean, I think we're number three overall in the world after Monday's show.
What?
Well, yeah. We're usually around there.
Number three in the world behind...
Monday's number one.
Behind both most recent episodes of Caller Daddy?
No. Sports. Yeah. No. I'm talking about three overall. Yeah. Episodes right now. I'm looking at it. Murdered, Sierra Jogan.
RIP.
See, that's what I'm saying.
A Difficult Diplomatic Triangle. Uh-huh. Part of My Take, NFL Draft with Daniel Jeremiah, Super League with Troops.
Okay. So,
and then Dax. What's Blake's fucking stupid friend's name?
Dax Shepard. Is that like three of the top six are either our podcast or two people that were immediately on our podcast? You said Troops and Daniel Jeremiah.
No. That's the name of our show.
Oh, okay.
Description.
Are you high?
But either way, we see it. Obviously, people tweet us, tag us, whatever. If you have a new podcast, you should take the victory lap. But also know that if we tweeted every time we were number one, we'd probably have to tweet like 300 times a year.
And also, Billy, if you wanted to get murdered on your little vacation that you're going to take, and that way we could have Jake try to track down who your murderer was, that would probably do wonders.
Oh, so you guys do a murder podcast?
Yeah. About you.
Let's go.
Go listen to The Case, by the way. Kirk's podcast, very good.
I listened to the first episode. It was good.
Yeah. I'm going to binge it because my brain cannot handle not binging things. Mm-hmm. It's the worst thing that has happened with, like, today's entertainment.
I watched a documentary last night, and when it was over, I was like, is this over?
Yeah, right.
I was like, where's episode two?
Right. What was the we know?
Just we know.
What do you mean?
You know, shave your beard. We can tell.
Oh, binging.
Fuck, that was a fat joke.
Yeah.
The problem is I'm wearing a black shirt today.
I was gonna say.
When I wear a black shirt, everyone, like, a little life hack for anyone who's, which isn't really, everyone knows this, but, like, if you're a little bit fatter and it's springtime, buy a bunch of black t-shirts, and you're guaranteed to have people be like, oh, have you lost weight? It's like, nah, dude, I'm just wearing a black t-shirt. So then I forget that I am technically obese. So when Hank makes a joke like that, it goes over my head.
Well,
because I'm like, dude, I look hot right now. I'm in a black t-shirt.
When I saw you today, I was like, Big Cat's definitely wearing the shirt that he wears when he feels fat. But that's probably because I've known you for a while.
No. This was, if I'm really feeling fat, it's a sweatshirt. This was the first really warm day having to wear something not a sweatshirt.
Short sleeves, yeah.
That's what this is.
You look like a guy at an anime convention that's in charge of, like, the stage lighting.
I'm like a late version of Jerry Garcia when he just wore black t-shirts.
Sup, Honk, PFT, and Big Cat. What item of food would you eat knowing you only get to eat it while you're high and it's the only food you get to eat while high?
Cool Ranch Doritos and salsa.
That's two foods.
Water.
No, you don't want water.
Yeah, I want
that's
some water.
That's the only thing you can eat when you're high.
Ice cream. Ice cream's the best. Ice cream's the best no matter what.
But, like,
ice cream's a very good answer.
Ice cream is so good. Ice cream. You know what?
So you're gonna, like, wake and bake on Saturday and crush a pint.
Is ice cream getting re-apexed?
I don't think, if we're doing, like, the pantheons of creams.
Uh-huh.
Is ice cream in the top tier? Because you got Cream, the band.
Yep.
You've got
the song Cream.
The song Cream. Yep. Cash Flow's Everything Around Me. You've got Cream Pies, the donut.
Yep. Cream Pies,
the videos.
Category. Yep.
The category. And then after that, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yeah, I think it's probably like it's probably in my top five creams.
Creams, yeah, yeah.
Creamsicle orange is pretty good.
What about Balco? The cream.
The cream, and but you need the clear to make the cream.
That's true.
It's like it's
Oreo.
It's like a Brady Belichick thing.
Yeah, yin and yang.
But what's the question again? What would you eat?
Ice cream.
Pussy. Yeah.
Ooh.
Ooh. Bonk. Yo, I just rewatched the old Barstool video of Big Cat and fights in the demo derby blindfolded race. My question is, if you did it again, Hank, would you rather have Hank or Billy Football giving you directions?
Billy.
Not my best moment.
Not your best moment. You confused right and left a lot. I was blindfolded and Hank had to tell me where to go, and it was a disaster.
Well, it's like, whose line is like, do I go left? I was like, right. Meaning,
wait,
yes.
What? It was like, whose line is it? You're doing a bit?
No, well, that's how it played out. It was just kind of a shit show. Again, not my best moment.
We were facing the same direction, by the way.
Right.
Right. So we had the same left and right.
Has any other media member ever got mad about a joke you said about them?
Oh, good question. Great question.
Rappaport did not like Leroy scooping him on the Gronk news.
That's right.
He texted Big Cat, was like, why is everybody being mean to me online?
Yeah.
It's because a dog fucking beat you to the biggest scoop of the summer, bitch.
Everyone was going after him. I'm trying to think. Who else have we... Well, I mean, I guess Rick Pitino would be... If it is him that's stalking me and PFT now, that would be it.
I mean this is not your content was all...
Oh, yeah. He's a fucking weenie. He's such a fucking weenie.
Did you see the Kyle Pitts thing?
No.
Nope. All right, last one.
Okay. Thank you, Hank. That's our producer, baby.
I mean, it's all time. I can't believe this.
Okay, no,
I saw it.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go. Yeah.
Are we going to get to see Coach Doug's lead LWSCO to a national title this summer when we're stuck with just baseball for 3 months?
Ooh, I don't know.
What do you mean stuck with just baseball? Show some appreciation
in the Olympics,
for the beautiful sport.
I think here's what I'll say about Doug's. At some time, somewhere, he'll come back, but it won't be when you expect it. That's it. It'll just happen. And it'll just be like, hey, I'm doing... I actually, you know what? I'll say this, Hank, because we discussed this. The one-day stream. That's what we'll do. The one-day full-season stream, where it's just like, fire it up, play a full season, and that's it. So we'll do that at some point, somewhere, sometime. Who knows? Numbers.
37.
32.
8.
18.
73 from Bubba. 8.
Billy? I said 32.
Animal Fact?
32.
30. Yeah. Oh, 99. Oh, nice cooler. We got a new cooler. Eight. Holy shit. This thing is awesome.
That's the Coors cooler.
Yeah.
It's the Colorado Kool-Aid cooler.
99.
Yeah.
T-Rexes could actually do push-ups with their arms.
Because they could, like, push up?
No. They actually would get up using their...
What is it?
71.
Oh, Bubba's so close.
Damn, this looks so nice now that we're not, like, on a... Also, shout out Billy. He cleaned the studio. I came in, and after, because we had that talk yesterday, I was like, oh, Billy showed initiative. And then Hank was like, no. I asked him to do it 3 times today.
Yep. Love you guys.
Talking away. Though I don't know what I'm to say, I'll say it anyway. Today's another day to find you shying away. Love is coming for your love of free. Shying away. I'm coming for your love of me. Take on me. Take me on. I'll be gone after your tears. Needless to say, I'm on to say it, but I'll be stoned. Say, yeah, is it love?
You're all things I've got to remember. You're shying away. Well, I'll be coming for you anyway. You're shying away. Well, I'll be coming for you anyway. Take on me.
It's Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.